Jam. What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you by a brand new book called The Dorner Protocol. This is from author and poet Jonathan Shepherd. This is his fifth work and his first novel. This novel is about an international manhunt for former LAPD officer Chris Dorner and its guiding framework for the protection of a father and his family. So check out the book, The Dorner Protocol. You can pre-order it right now at badthoughtpublishing.com. That's badthoughtpublishing.com. The novel ships on June 7th. So ladies and gentlemen, we're going to chop up some very good game on today's broadcast. I need you to let everybody know that we're here. I need y'all to hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button, hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button. We're going to take a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. So you don't move a muscle because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin' by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack, and the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to cookieconfidant.com to get these cookies. Black-owned company, man. They got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com.
Protect yourself and your loved ones with high-quality self-defense products. Urban Guerrilla Security was created to help arm and educate the black community on self-defense. Our products range from pepper spray, stun guns, security cameras, and much more. You can never be too safe. Visit UrbanGorillaSecurity.com today. That's UrbanGorillaSecurity.com.
What's up, family? If you want to keep your car clean inside and out, you need to do it with Royal Canary. Royal Canary is the best car detailing product on the market right now. It's a premium car detailing product that will beat any product on the market, guaranteed. And it's not just the first, but it's the only black-owned car detailing product on the market. So no more using all of those old, outdated, greasy, watered-down products. Step your game up at RoyalCanary.com. That's RoyalCanary.com. And use the coupon code FBA to get 5% off on your purchase. RoyalCanary.com.
If you are tired of buying expensive cocktails that are weak and leave you disappointed, order a drink from us at LiddyWithLee.com. All of our drinks are made with quality liquor, organic sweeteners, and natural juices. We ship domestically and offer delivery services throughout the NYC area. Here at Liddy with Lee LLC, we strive to provide you with a lit experience in a bottle. Follow us on Instagram at Liddy with Lee or check our website, LiddyWithLee.com.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
Have you ever asked yourself when will black folks get divine justice? This is because our people do not have a divine force to call upon like the Haitians did in 1804. I'll teach you how to call on the universal God and manifest your desires. Whether it's money, love, a better career, a successful business, or better people to date, and most of all, the removal of pesky white supremacy, go to starknowledge.net now. And don't worry, this is not voodoo. You'll be learning to call on the divine force that you are already very familiar with. Go to starknowledge.net now.
Are you looking for a 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all five products for just $50. So check this out all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs. Ladies, do you want to tone up your body and enhance your feminine curves without feeling masculine? Well, trainer Solomon Pratt is the best, and he is your guy. Solomon's Gym Fitness app offers customized online training that is convenient and effective. You can download his fitness app at solomonsfitnessworld.com. Solomon also makes ankle, power, and booty resistant bands to strengthen and tone and stretch your entire body anytime you want to train. Ladies, summer is about to be here soon. You don't want to have that big corona lockdown stomach. Get those Solomon's Fitness World bands right now at solomonsfitnessworld.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back, we're back, we're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have the family in here. Shout out to everybody who has purchased the Buck Breaking DVD, also the Buck Breaking Stream. You can stream Buck Breaking at buckbreakingmovie.com. You can stream it, or you can get the DVD. Also, you can get the bundle package where you get Buck Breaking, 1804, and all the Hidden Colors films, all of that for just $99. You get all that at buckbreakingmovie.com. Now, where are my DMV people in the DC, Virginia, Maryland area? There's going to be a screening and a Q&A of Buck Breaking this weekend, actually this Sunday, at a place called Noel's Lounge. Our brother Reza is going to be there for the Q&A. So I need everybody to go to buckbreakingmovie.com to get your tickets. Limited seating only. This is a very intimate space where the family can get together and chop up some good game after watching this film. It's very important to watch this film with a group. It's very important to be around like-minded people so that when you watch this film, you can chop up game and network with people. And we're doing these tours all over the country. Reza's going to be at that one. Reza was with me earlier today. I'm going to do some of the dates. I know I'm going to be at the Miami one. We're setting up the Miami one. The one in Dallas, I'm going to be at that one. We're setting it up. We're setting the one up in Oakland. I'm going to be at that one. I'm going to set up the one or be at the one in New York. So we're hitting the road heavy with the Buck Breaking Tour. Okay, so you guys need to definitely come out. Again, all my DC, Maryland, Virginia people, go to buckbreakingmovie.com. Get your tickets now, right this minute, because the screening is going down this Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, everybody loved the Buck Breaking screening in Atlanta. That one was just action-packed, jam-packed. Shout out to my brother David Banner. He showed up. Everybody came out. Shout out to Jay Morrison and the Legacy Center. That was a wonderful networking event, man. Everybody had a great time. I wanted to be there. I had to handle business here. But I'm definitely going to be at some of the screenings and Q&A so I can chop it up with the family as well. And Reza is going to be there. And in certain cities, some of the other speakers are going to be there. So it's a great thing. It is a great thing, ladies and gentlemen. Again, buckbreakingmovie.com. So anyway, man, let's get right into what we need to talk about on today's broadcast. The topic of today is bucksplaining. Now, what is bucksplaining? Well, bucksplaining is what your boy Obama is doing right now, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, the Democrats are running around talking about the George Floyd Policing Act, and they've been dragging their ass on that. It's not really something that has a lot of teeth in it anyway. So they've been dragging their ass about this George Floyd Policing Act. The Biden administration invited George Floyd's family to the White House, and they've been doing all these cheesy ass photo ops. All of these little symbolic gestures, because people are looking at the Democrats like, hey, black people done put you guys in power, and all you've done is sit up here and ignore us. You've elevated other groups over us. You've come up with bills and laws and protections for immigrants, people who are not even citizens, LGBT, the white ones, and Asian people based on the quote unquote racism that they've received. But when it comes to us, everybody's starting to drag their feet. You're making every excuse in the world. So now even the black Biden voters are looking funny style now, like, hey, wait a damn minute. Even the fools, because you were a fool to vote for him anyway, even the fools are like, wait, I got a limit to my foolery. I have a limit to being a damn fool. I can only be so much of a fool. Because the Biden administration played everybody like fools. And a lot of the Biden voters are walking around with the jackass hat on right now. So they're doing a bunch of symbolic nothing burgers so that when re-election time comes up, or when election season pop up, they can tell their usual lies about what they've done for black folks. Hey, we didn't ignore you guys. We were pushing the George Floyd Act. We were pushing H.R. 40 to study reparations. So they're going to try to use these empty symbolic gestures as talking points for later on. So they're doing some pre-splaining already. So now what they're doing, they're trying to get Obama out here to toe the line for the Democrats. And Obama's name is mud out here in the streets. The streets ain't rocking with Obama. We've seen what Obama did to us. Nothing. The benign neglect that Obama practiced against black people. We have not forgotten that. We have not forgotten how Obama threw us under the bus. How Obama sat up here and let black folks get slaughtered and didn't do a damn thing. He knows what the deal is. He knows why we're not rocking with him. So now he's come out bucksplaining. He has come on out bucksplaining, meaning that Obama's basically admitting to being a broken buck, powerless token. I've always called him a powerless token. So he's basically admitting to being a powerless, broken buck, and he couldn't do anything because he was a powerless, broken buck. So now he's bucksplaining. He's bucksplaining right now. We haven't forgotten Obama. Now I want y'all to listen to Obama. He's talking about how he was blocked from speaking up for black victims of injustice in the White House. That's BS. That's a bunch of BS. But anyway, let me play a clip of Obama bucksplaining. Hold on, let me play the actual clip of it. All right, here's a little clip of it.
Former President Barack Obama is sharing how frustrated he was with his, quote, institutional role during the killings of Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin. He said he held back on some of his feelings because he didn't want to sway a federal investigation.
I did not in any way want to endanger their capacity to go in, investigate, and potentially charge perpetrators, which meant that I could not come down or appear to come down decisively in terms of guilt or innocence in terms of what happened. So you had institutional constraints.
The former president says he does feel he was able to help the Justice Department rework how it tackles those investigations.
Okay, no. So his excuse now, this is his bullshit ass excuse. His excuse was he didn't do anything because he didn't want to say anything that would impede on the federal investigations, which turned up, which didn't do anything either. Those federal investigations didn't do a damn thing. That's a bunch of BS, man. Dude, when Biden and all these people want to pass these protection laws for Asians, they're like telling you, hey, we can't let Asians, y'all can't harm these Asians. Boy, we're going to stop this. Y'all can't do Asians like this. The hell you talking about? You couldn't say nothing because you didn't want it to sway investigations. Dude, black folks are not supposed to be getting shot down in the goddamn streets like this. You're supposed to speak out against that. Let's stop playing games. Let me tell you something. Because Obama, look, and another thing he was talking about, let me read an article that goes even deeper about what he was talking about. In the article, it says, I didn't want in any way to endanger the capacity to go in, investigate, and potentially charge perpetrators, meant that I could not come down or appear to come down decisively in terms of guilt or innocence. Dude, stop it. The former president added that he didn't have the majorities needed to make a significant push for justice. Keep in mind, in 2012, I won, but I didn't win congressmen, and we didn't win a bunch of governorships back. We didn't win a bunch of state legislators back. Man, dude, man, family. Almost all of the black folks who were killed under Obama were killed in Democratic cities, man. Do y'all know Mike Brown was killed in a Democratic-run city? Alton Sterling, he was killed in a Democrat-run city. Tamir Rice, Democrat-run city. Philando Castile, Democrat-run city. These black people were killed in cities that were run by the Democrats. They're trying to play this little con game now, man. They're trying to run this little sucker game. They're trying to double talk as if it was the Republicans that were stopping them. Family, they like to play this ping pong game where they're going to blame the Republicans, blame the Democrats. We got to stop going for that game. Obama could have said something. Nobody was stopping Obama. You're the damn president of the United States, dude. Freddie Gray, that was done in a Democratic-run city. Your DOJ was black, Democratic-run. It was your DOJ, dude. Let's stop playing games. See, the thing is, Obama is acting like his hands were tied. He wanted to do something. His hands wasn't tied when he signed that damn blue law where he gave more power to the police. Don't let Obama run around here and run this game on black folks now. Was his hands tied when he was signing that damn blue law alert bullshit? Don't let Obama come around here and lie to us now. Was his hands tied when he was out here calling black people thugs for speaking up in standing up against racial injustice when black people out here in the streets fighting against the race soldiers, fighting for the right to damn live, he went out and started calling everybody thugs. Oh, don't let Obama play this game, guys. You're not going to get to play that game, Obama. Obama's being a ho-bama. We're going to call him ho-bama. He's acting like a little ho. I've lost all respect for Obama, and I voted for him I voted twice for him. He's ho-bama. So we're not going to play that game. They had no problem standing up for all types of LGBT rights and everything else. We're not going to play that game where speaking up for our lives is some kind of dirty word. I want black people to understand this. Stop letting the dominant society treat you like some dirty little secret. Black family, it is not your lot in life to be mistreated. It is not your lot in life to be subjugated. It is not your lot in life to be terrorized. Stop being afraid to speak out against that. Stop being afraid to stand up against that and stop talking in code. We got to stop this code speak that they do. There's a damn soft genocide going on right now with these race soldiers, man. We have to look at it in those terms. They're slaughtering us left and right. We have to produce justice by any means. This is why I really don't like playing games with these politicians, man. This is why I told people, do not vote. Voting for these people just keeps you on the rhetoric treadmill and stops you from producing justice. We sit up here supporting these assholes, wishing on a hope and a prayer that they're going to do something. They're not going to do anything but run game on us, man. And then when you put them in office, they can point to you and say, hey, nigga, you voted for me, though. I mean, you can't complain. You were the one who voted for me. Now listen to me spit some bullshit at your dumb ass. See, when you get off that treadmill, when you understand that they're not going to do anything and you don't want to hear what they have to say, then automatically your mind is going to start coming up with solutions to this race soldier problem. See, that's what they do not want. See, they see black people getting off that political treadmill. It ain't working for us. What they're seeing now is pull up summer. They're seeing black folks like, damn voting, damn waiting on a politician. Why don't I just go to this race soldier's house? That's what black people are doing now, and it's about to be summertime too. They see where the energy is going right now. They see black folks have zero confidence in the political system. And we're not just going to keep sitting around letting these folks harm our families. Nobody's safe if you're black. Black, young, old, male, female, children, elderly, none of us are safe. So they don't want us to think in terms of handling our own justice. See, they don't really want to see pull up summer. You don't really have a response to pull up summer. Because see, when black people start becoming one person armies, you can't stop that. And that's where this shit is going right now. And it's summertime ain't even quite here yet. Summertime isn't even here yet, and everybody's already getting turned up a little bit. People are going to start producing their own justice. And let me tell you something, the month of June is here. The month of June is here, so the white supremacists are going to do is a well, the month of June is about to be here. It's not quite here yet. And the white supremacists are going to be doing all types of deflections. They're going to be promoting LGBT stuff for Pride Month. They're going to be promoting that heavy. Y'all about to see this everywhere. Dude, I've been seeing LGBT stuff. You can't go anywhere without seeing rainbows. You can't go to the grocery store without seeing cereal with rainbows. They got Pride, Frosted Flakes. I mean, they're putting it all on foods now. I mean, it's really in your face. Over at Target, they had some mannequins, some children mannequins with rainbow pride stuff on, and the boy mannequin had his bussy tooted up. They're going heavy with this thing for the month of June. They're going to go real heavy. This is why Buck Breaking, the movie, is very important. This movie could not have come at a more opportune time. Family, this is the most important film that you can watch right now. You need to share it with your family. And again, y'all need to go to these screenings so that you can network with other people, other black folks. See, the Dominant Society, they weren't expecting such a pushback from us. All Buck Breaking, and it's still number one all on social media. It's number one on Amazon. They weren't expecting such a pushback from the black community. Because again, they're still trying. You know, the whole narrative that black people are innately homophobic. I saw a story coming out of Florida where this kid, the sixth grader, got jumped by some eighth graders and they tried to frame it as a homophobic attack. Well, I want y'all to listen to this story. This just came out, I think yesterday, but listen to this.
Off the top at six now, disturbing video you'll only see on the one and only tonight. A middle schooler attacked by a group of older kids, slammed to the ground as other students looked on. And tonight, the young victim is talking about the shocking motive for this high school beatdown.
So let's get right over to Local 10 News anchor Sanella Sabovic live in Deerfield Beach with the exclusive. Sanella.
Well, Nicole and Calvin, no child should be bullied, period. The victim is 13 years old, and he tells me all of this started in August once classes resumed here at this middle school. And he says all because he is gay. Well, last Friday, that verbal abuse turned into physical abuse.
Horrible. It's been a living hell.
This is how 13-year-old Chad Sanford will remember his sixth grade year at Deerfield Beach Middle School. This is video from last Friday. That's Chad in the khaki shorts. Kids are surrounding him, and an eighth grade boy comes up from behind, picks him up, and slams him to the ground. It doesn't end there. The physical abuse continues, and homophobic slurs are hurled at him.
They stepped on my face. They were kicking, spitting on me, and all. They were screaming. They were saying, "We got that gay shit."
Chad says he's been bullied this entire school year, all because of his sexual orientation.
One day, he embarrassed me in front of everybody. He stood on top of the stage and said to me, "I'm going to knock the gay out of him."
Chad's aunt Raquel Showers says,
"Okay, now the white media jumped on this. The white media jumped on this. Now, let's be very clear. I've heard some stuff from some of the other students, and I've seen posts from some of the other students. They said that's not the case at all. Nobody jumped him because he was gay, and nobody really jumped him. Somebody tripped him up, but he was walking around talking shit to people, and he was doing little slick shit. This is what some of the other students are saying. Wasn't because he was gay. He was running around here talking shit to other students, and they stepped to him. But this whole narrative that they all jumped him because he was gay, that's some white supremacist bullshit, and he played into it because he sees it's going to get him attention to run with that narrative. So a lot of the other students are like, "Hey, that dude is lying. Nobody jumped him because he was gay. He was stepping to folks, and folks got tired of him, and they slammed him down." And what do you mean he's gay? Who is he gay with? He's 13 years old. Who is he gay with? Who is he gay with? Yeah, he's gay with who? Who's he gay with? But the thing is, what's interesting, when the white media can demonize black children, see, they'll give fake attention to this kid. See, they're giving him, they don't give a shit about no black gay kid. Let's be clear, and any black gay people listening, the white people, you know they don't give a shit about you, but they'll give you attention just as long as they can use you to dump on other black kids. They don't give a shit about none of y'all. But this is a way to get the focus off their racism and their bigotry to show or to create a narrative that black people are comparatively bigoted. Because if you're going to talk about bullying, remember, guys, a few days ago out there in Texas, a little black boy committed suicide who was in the seventh grade because of the racial bullying. The white kids and the white Hispanic kids were calling this little black boy all types of niggers and blackie. And he killed himself. And the white media, boy, they ran away from that story. They didn't want to touch that. all. They're not really propping that story up at all. They're not going around talking about charging kids and all. They ain't doing that. When it comes to a black kid getting bullied because of race, boy, they get away from that real quick because they don't want to demonize white kids. They really don't want to demonize white kids. But if a black kid who just happens to be moist, or he happens to identify with LGBT, whatever, and there's some black kids that they can dump on, there they go. So we got to watch the game that they're playing out here. This is why y'all need to watch buck breaking and study buck breaking and stop being afraid to push back from this narrative that they're trying to promote. We got to stop. We've let the white LGBT community bully us for centuries. That shit is stopping. We're stopping that. The white LGBT community, they bullied us. They've been buck breaking us and bullying us for centuries. And now they got a narrative where we can't even speak out against the white LGBT community. Are we going to be labeled homophobic? Damn that. Damn the titles. You can be called out too because of your racism. See, this is why they keep talking about they don't want to do critical race theory, because see, the name of the game is to hide racism, to sweep white supremacy under the rug. And we're not doing a damn thing. We're not sweeping anything under the rug. And I want black folks to stop being afraid and stop being ashamed to talk about white supremacy. That's an experience that we have been subjugated under. We have to stop being afraid to speak out against it every single day. I don't give a shit about the white supremacists getting mad. Hell, I'm mad at them practicing white supremacy. See, they play dumb and they want black folks to play dumb right along with them. And some of y'all do play dumb because you're scared of the backlash. Damn the backlash. See, black folks got this thing about white acceptance. Family, white acceptance is so damn overrated. See, a lot of black folks don't want to speak out against racism because, see, white people act very nice to you as long as you don't talk about racism. And see, black folks, when a white person is around black people and the white person is acting nice, black people like that. They're like, if the white person is acting nice, I'm not going to get in no good trouble. If the white person is acting nice around me, I'm not going to get in any trouble. So I'm going to keep this white person in a nice, jovial mood. So let me not say anything that's going to get white mommy upset with me or white daddy upset with me. So black folks go along with this tacky interaction with white people. We talk about everything under the sun with that racial underlying tension there, knowing that deep down these people hate us, knowing deep down they will sabotage any progress that we try to have around them. See, we got to get off this thing about getting approval from them, not ruffling their feathers. See, we do that to our chagrin. Y'all remember that black dude who was out there in Central Park bird watching, and the white Karen was talking about she's being assaulted, and she made that fake false 911 call, and she got charged, but they gave her a slap on the wrist and she had to do some kind of community service, something she had to do. I think watch some anti-racism video, some slap on the wrist nonsense, and they dropped the charges on her dumb ass. And then the Sambo, who's LGBT himself, he was talking about, oh, she's suffered enough now. Let her alone now. Her being charged was, that's punishment enough now. He's splaining for, because again, he don't want to ruffle no feathers because he's white, he's LGBT. So, you know, he has a white zaddy somewhere. So he don't want to make zaddy or potential zaddies upset if he co-signs the punishment of a white woman. So he don't want to make zaddy upset. He don't want to mess up some bussy action with white zaddy. So he's going along to get along. So now this woman who got a slap on the wrist and this Negro sitting up here going light on her, she's running around. She's back now talking about she wants to sue her employer for wrongfully terminating her. She's saying she was wrongfully terminated. So this woman has not only not learned her lesson, she's trying to get revenge. How dare you fire me because of this Negro? Y'all play these games with these damn white supremacists with all that forgiving. These folks have no morals. When that woman did that, man, y'all should have opted for the most punishment she can get. That was a despicable thing she did. She could have got that Negro killed. She could have got that Negro killed. Playing that game, that's a very dangerous game to play. So yeah, she's suing now for racial discrimination. She's saying she's being discriminated against because of her race. Black folks, stop playing games with these white supremacists. Stop trying to get into a comfort zone with them. Ain't no comfort zone. Like our brother Neely Fuller said, it's the three T's. It's terroristic, tacky. What's the other one? I always forget the other one. He said there's three T's. There's three types of interactions we have with the white supremacists. He said it's tacky, terroristic, and he says it gets no better than tacky. What's the other T? I always forget the other T. My people in the chat room, help me out. And we got a lot of folks in the room. We got over 5,000 people in the room right now. Everybody hit that thumbs up button. Hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. Trashy. Yeah, that's it. Trashy. Trashy, tacky, terroristic. Those are the only interactions we have with the dominant society. When we get around them, it's always a trashy, tacky, terroristic relationship. There's always something tacky going on. This is why you don't seek approval. And the more black people try to go along and get along, you get less respect. You notice, black people, when you start doing things outside of dealing directly with the white supremacists, because we have to deal with them indirectly, but when you stop directly trying to get their approval and you try to just do everything you can without them being in your mix, and then you try to thrive and then you start to thrive, let me tell you something. They will be the first people all up in your business. When we stop trying to get approval from them, that's when we get all the attention in the world from the white supremacists. Family, look at our chat rooms and look right now as I'm talking now. I'm talking about black issues. Do y'all know how many white supremacists are listening right now? Family, when I do stuff, the white supremacists are there, all ears. Anytime we're talking about some stuff where we ain't trying to get approval from them, their antennas go up. That's exactly what they want to hear. They don't want to hear no ass-kissing nigga. They don't give a shit about that. They see ass-kissing niggas every day at the job. Let's be clear. Every day at the job, there's an ass-kissing Negro sitting up here sucking their ass. They see that every day. A black person who's telling the white supremacists to kiss their black ass, that's the Negro they want to listen to. That's why they're listening and glued to me all the time. That's why they are glued to me. When you stop giving a damn about them, oh, they're all ears. They want to see what is this nigga up to? Uh-oh. This nigga's acting free. You see? They got to be in our mix. Family, that's why they love us on social media. Social media, ladies and gentlemen, I talked about this before. Social media was created to spy on black people. Social media was created to spy on black people. The internet as we know it was used as a surveillance tool. That's why apps like Clubhouse, some of these apps I don't even get on. Clubhouse to me is just like talking to the feds. It's like having a conversation with the feds in the room. They got way too much information on you. But social media is surveillance. They set it up to make it fun and, you know, all silly. We playing games and dancing and doing these challenges and all that. But they sit up and monitor and watch everything that goes on social media. Family, social media is deeper than what you think it is. Family, do y'all know on social media. You know they got on your phone. We already know that they can identify certain things that you're into. But they have trackers on phones where if you go to somebody's house, your phone will automatically absorb the information in somebody else's phone. There was a guy online talking about he went to his mother's house and his mother uses a certain toothpaste, a very unique toothpaste. And when he left, when he went on Google and on his own phone, when he started to go on social media, he started seeing all of these ads popping up of the toothpaste from his mother's house. He was like, hey, how the hell did this happen? I didn't even Google it. But the thing is, the way phones are, the algorithms, the people you are around, your phone can gather their information. And then you'll start getting ads from stuff that your friends are into. All this shit is deep, man. Oh, yes. 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 If you go, y'all remember when all those people went down to spring break in Florida? They went down to spring break during COVID and they started to get all those big waves of COVID. And then what happened was the government started tracking everybody's phone. Remember that? And finding out where people were coming from. They were tracking the phone data and tracking it back to their home states. And they were finding out where all these people were coming from. Man, this thing is heavy. This thing is heavy, family. This thing is not no joke at all. And the thing is, not only do they have a lot of stuff going on the phones, a lot of the racism now is going to be automated. So they programmed a lot of things to have automatic racism. They had some automatic cars that will self-drive. And this story came out a few years ago. These cars were disproportionately hitting black people. These automated cars were programmed to disproportionately run over black people. I want y'all to Google that story. So now they can do stuff and use machines, and then they can say, oh, there's no racism. It was a glitch. It was a glitch in the machine. And also, have you seen these stories about these facial recognition cameras that they got all over the place? And we already knew where that was going, that facial recognition. We've seen story after story where they falsely identified multiple black people for crimes they didn't do using that facial recognition. So now they can just blame the racism on a glitch in the system. You see? Out there in Chicago, a brother got shot because they thought he was a snitch. This was a couple of days ago. There was a brother out there in Chicago. The police, what they have these secret algorithms where they can identify people who are most likely to shoot somebody or they're more likely to get shot. They have algorithms where they can determine somebody or people or neighborhoods where somebody is most likely to get shot. So what the cops do, they'll go do surveillance on this person because their computer algorithm said that this person could potentially shoot somebody. You haven't committed a crime. A crime has not been done on you, but they're doing surveillance on people. They were doing surveillance on this brother because of the algorithms, and people saw in the neighborhood saw the cops were tracking this dude and they were all outside his house. So they thought this nigga was a snitch. So they bust on him. They didn't shot this brother a couple of times. Man, this thing is heavy out here. And for years, I've been telling people about them robotic dogs from that Boston company. Those robotic police dogs that they had running around. I said, hey, man, boy, that's going to make a left turn. So in New York, they were taking them robotic dogs all up in black neighborhoods. They had to stop because so many people were complaining. And I'm telling people, one of those damn robots killed Micah Johnson. Don't ever forget that. They used a robot to kill Micah Johnson. So those robotic dogs running around the hood, they're going to use those to kill people. You see? So now you can't blame racism. It's a robot. The robot don't know anything about race. It was just a glitch in the system. So nobody, no human is really responsible. It's not a human being responsible. Yeah, Boston Dynamics. Yeah. I told people when that Boston, years ago, when they were showing those robotic dogs from Boston Dynamics, they were making it all cute. The dogs were doing flips and rolling around. I said, no. Don't you fall for that. Don't fall for that cute shit. Man, don't fall for that. That is dangerous. Who do you think they're going to use those dogs on? You dig? It's some real heavy stuff out here. And we got to be ready. We have to be ready every day, all day. And we got to watch out for our babies. We got to watch out for these kids. There was a story, guys, out there in Maryland. This was in Maryland. There's a black boy who was 13 years old. He ran away from his white adopted dads. He got two white gay dads, and they've adopted a whole bunch of black kids. And a year ago, this same kid ran away. He ran away before they found him, and he ran away again. And now they're looking for him. One of the white dads talking about, well, he suffers from mental illness. I don't believe that. I don't believe for one minute that little boy suffers from mental illness. I believe that them white men were in there trying to buck break that little boy, and he got the hell out of there. So all my Maryland people, DC people, if y'all got any information on this little 13-year-old, somebody in the chat room help me. What is his name? If y'all have any information on that little boy, y'all make sure he's safe, but don't turn him back in to them white daddies. Do not give him back to them damn white daddies. They are horrible, horrible, horrible when it comes to our children. Black family, if you find this kid and if y'all see him somewhere, look out for him. Hit me up so we can get some resources to him. But do not give him back to that white family, those white dudes, because something is obviously going on in that damn house. So please look out for that kid as a community. I hope he's somewhere safe. Because see, people play this game and they say, well, damn it, white people got to adopt these kids because black people don't want to adopt them. That's BS. I've always said this. A lot of black families, they have their children taken from them for the most minute reasons. There was a sister who had her daughter taken because the daughter broke her leg or something like that playing. And I don't think they could explain how the kid broke her leg. So they done took the kid and they got to fight for the kid. So they do little stuff like that to us. And then give our kid to these abusive ass white supremacists. We see stories every week of how black kids are given to some damn racists and they sit up and abuse these kids and they never take them away from these damn racists. There was a white woman, guys. A story came out this week. A white woman went to Africa, adopted a little black girl, and the white woman kept taking the little girl to the hospital, getting all types of different medical treatment for this kid, hooking up on all types of machines, putting out GoFundMe pages, making it seem like the little girl is all sickly. Oh, my poor black adopted daughter, I got to GoFundMe. She's sick. She has a disease. And the doctors had to come out and say, hey, nothing is wrong with this kid. The woman, the white woman, was charged with medical abuse. Because the doctors in the hospitals had to come out and say, hey, this child is perfectly healthy. This mother's doing all this shit for attention. This mother's doing all this shit for clout chasing. Ain't nothing wrong with this kid. Man, we got to understand our babies are in danger around these folks. See, they got us thinking that being adopted by white people is going to be like an episode of Different Strokes. That ain't it. We got to understand the game out here. You know, I haven't done it in a long time. I haven't taken phone calls in a long time. Let me take some calls from y'all, man. Y'all call in. I haven't taken phone calls in a minute, and people have been complaining that I don't take calls. I'm going to take some calls tonight. The phone number, 818-850-5404. 818-850-5404. That is the number. Y'all call in. Let's see what's on your mind. I haven't talked to y'all in a minute. Let me see what's going on with you. 818-850-5404. Y'all call up and let me make sure this phone line is working, because usually y'all call in by now. But let's see what's going on. We got a call right now. Let's see what's popping. Hello, who's calling?
Yo, King Flex, what's going on? This is Jimmy from D.C.
Hey, brother, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Yo, man, shout out to you, man. Bug Breaking is a phenomenal film.
Man, I appreciate
you. Phenomenal. Absolutely. I just wanted to call and give you your props. Tariq Nasheed must be protected at all costs. He is putting CPR on masculinity and just, you know, calling out some of these agendas that's going on out here. And it's about the kids, you know?
Yes.
It's about the kids. I'm trying to start a family myself, get married, and, you know, raise, the strength is in the Black family. So, you know, what you're doing is going to affect the next generation, like just generations to come, man. So it's huge and underrated, man. You need your flowers, and we got to give it to you, brother, man.
Man, I appreciate
it. We love you, man. Absolutely, Flex.
Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate that, man. Hey, we got to do it for these babies, man. We got to do it, man. We cannot let these folks sit up here and attack our babies. I have a bug in my ass about that, man. That's a no-no. That's where we got to draw the line. When they start attacking our kids, enough is enough. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up, CL King Flex? How you doing, man? This is James from Clarence, New Jersey.
Hey, you hear me? I'm good, man. Where you at, man? Sound like you at Chuck E. Cheese right now, brother. What's going on back there?
Nah. I'm at a mall. I'm in security at a mall right now. I'm closing down, bro. I just wanted to, you know, shout out to you. I'm a first generation American. You know, my parents from the islands, but I'm going hard for the SBA.
No,
I'm going hard for SBA and B1.
Man,
I love y'all, man. I love you.
Man, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much, brother. All right, we got our non-FBA brother right there. Shout out to him. Oh, a lot of folks are calling up. Again, the number is 818-850-5404. Good to hear from the family. What's up? Who's calling?
Peace, brother. It's Kashama Sankofa.
Hey, brother. What city are you calling from?
Calling out of Atlanta.
Shout out
I was out at the Buck Breaking film screening and enjoyed myself.
Oh, great, man. That was a great event, man. Everybody looked like they had a good time out there. So how did you like the film?
I like the film, actually. It inspired me to go ahead and do I'm doing a two-part series on my own live stream called Political Buck Breaking. And I just want to let you know that you inspired that, brother.
Man, I appreciate that. What's your YouTube page?
It's Melanated Solutions Media.
Melanated Solutions Media. There you go, man. Everybody can check that out, man. I appreciate you. Let me get a couple of more calls here. What's going on? Who's calling?
Hey, Flex, this is Alexander from Chicago. First-time caller, man. Salute to you, brother, B1, for the FBA family. I just would have just thank you once again for actually being like a mentor and role model, my brother. I salute what you're doing. Buck Breaking was phenomenal. I showed that to the family, and they loved it. And once again, man, salute to you, man. I'm like a huge fan from Chicago.
Man, shout out to Chicago. And we're trying to get out there to Chicago to do a screening networking event out there. So stay tuned for that, brother.
Yes, sir. B1.
All right, brother. We'll take a couple of more calls. Shout out to everybody, man. I appreciate all the love. A couple of more calls. What's up? Who's calling?
Raphael from Texas.
Raphael from Texas. What part of Texas you from, brother?
The northwest side around like the Spring Woodlands area, Houston, Texas.
Okay, well, that sounds like a place with some good-ass barbecue. What's going on? What's on your mind?
All right, so Texas, they just passed the you don't need a license to conceal and carry a gun publicly.
I heard about that.
So with racial tensions at an all-time high, what do you think that's going to mean for Black youngsters that, you know, choose to walk around with their guns? Because, you know, let's just say it's some brothers in a car, four dudes, they all have their guns legally, and a cop stops them. What do you think's going to happen? I'm not going to hold you up, but I really want to hear what you have to say about this.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, y'all, my Texas people, y'all watch out for that. Now, hold your thing on you now. I want y'all to keep your thing on you, but you better be prepared and watch out for the race soldiers, because they don't give a shit about our Second Amendment rights. As we saw with Philando Castile, this brother was a legal gun owner, and they just shot him and then allowed the race soldier to get away with shooting and killing him. They blatantly violated the Second Amendment, and the NRA and all these people didn't do a damn thing. They actually co-signed the murder of Philando Castile, which further proves that the NRA is nothing but a white supremacist organization. But I want black people to understand, look, out there in Texas, those good old boys with their good old boys mentality, the law doesn't apply to us, but still hold on to your thing. Understand, we're going to be the ones to produce justice. Just understand that part of it. No matter what, we have a God-given right to protect ourselves, no matter what. And by any means, just understand that. Look like we got somebody in Florida here. What's up? Who's calling? Wait, let me get this. Okay, there we go. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, King Flex. How are you? This is Deborah from New York.
Hey, Deborah. How are you, dear?
I'm good. Question. I wanted to know, why is Obama talking now about this? Is he feeling some type of backlash or any type of negative energy? Because he's out of the White House and, yeah, you know, he's doing his own thing. So I'm just trying to find out what prompted him to now all of a sudden cop all these pleas.
Yeah, because you know what? Black people, we're not rocking with the Democrats like that. We're looking at the Democrats and they're doing all types of research and they see black confidence about the Democrats is at an all-time low. They see we ain't really rocking with them like that because they have blatantly spit on us. We see these crime bills and all this stuff that they're putting out and all of these protections for Asians and LGBT and immigrants, and we're sitting out here getting slaughtered and they're not doing anything. So they're trying to scramble and give us some lip service to pacify us, and they didn't wield Obama out so that he can do some buck nigga splaining about why he didn't do a damn thing, so that Biden and those guys can point to Obama and say, well, Obama, it was him who didn't do nothing for y'all. It wasn't me. See, they're using him as a proxy, and Obama's not even in office right now. So it's a big nothing burger, a big symbolic gesture, and we're not going for it. But anyway, thank you for the call, dear. Now, that's Deborah from New York. All right, let me get one more call. Yeah, Obama wants our sympathy. Obama's legacy is garbage. He knows that. His name is mud. We ain't buying nothing that he's selling. So this is a desperation plea right now. Let's see who else is on the phone. Oh, I hear babies. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello?
Hey, what's up, brother?
Oh, Tariq, man, dude, I'm a long-time listener from Chicago.
Shout out to Chicago.
Man, thank you. I know you just had another brother just calling in from the land.
Yes, indeed. I hear babies in the back. How many babies you got in the back?
Oh, man, I got two.
Okay.
One that's 10, and I got one that's 3.
Okay, you got daddy daycare in there. Where's mom? Where's your mom? Where's your wife?
Man, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. She making some runs, man. She'll be right back.
Okay, there you go. They got you in there on daddy duty, in there with Capri Suns and all that good stuff. So what's on your mind, brother?
Of course. I'm now or never 1212 on Instagram. I've commented on some things here and there. Long-time listener, long-time fan. What do you have planned in terms of your locale for shooting the upcoming film? I know you just got done with Bug Breaking.
Yes.
I got it right now on the Vimeo.
Oh, good.
It's dope. Man, it takes a lot of courage to speak up right now on things like that, where people are afraid to lose their jobs, afraid to lose any kind of connections with that community.
Yes, indeed.
And the kind of power that they will.
Yeah. So we're going to be filming. We're definitely going to film in Florida. We're going to film out here in L.A. We're going to film in, I know, in South Carolina and possibly Virginia. I'm still scouting for locations. But, yeah, I keep you guys posted on that, man. Thanks for the call. But anyway, that's enough calls for tonight. But, yeah, my man hit on something very interesting. You know, for a long time, a lot of people were afraid to talk about the issues that we talked about in Buck Breaking. Because, see, they've set it up now where you can lose your job talking about certain things. If you say, hey, I don't want my child being sexualized, they can try to flip that on you and say that's homophobic. And I know out there in New York, and we talked about this in the Buck Breaking movie, they're saying if you misgender somebody, meaning if a dude puts on a wig and you say, hey man, what's up with that wig, brother? That's misgendering. And they're talking about in New York, and we broke this down in Buck Breaking, you can get fired or sued or even jail time for misgendering somebody. You understand? This is how deep this thing is getting, guys. So fellas, if you are with somebody, you meet somebody who you think is a woman, let's say you think the person is a woman, and then all of a sudden you might get intimate, and then this woman pulls her dick out on you, and you say, hey, wait a minute, ma'am. You're going to have to put that dick away. I can't do this. You a dude with this dick all up in here. That person can say, well, you misgendered me. This is discrimination. And then you can get punished. Family, this is buck breaking all over again. Meaning if you don't allow yourself to get raped, because that's what it is. They're telling black folks, everybody else, you got a choice. You can choose to say no or whatever. But if black folks, if we say, hey, I don't want a woman who's trying to rock out with her cock out, then that's misgendering and that's a civil rights violation. I mean, this is silly, crazy talk. We should have called this out a long time ago. And family, listen. Y'all remember when they had Malik Yoba and all those folks on The Breakfast Club, and they had that one black dude who's all clicked in with them white LGBT organizations, and he was trying to toe the line, spewing all of those white LGBT talking points, talking about black folks, man, people need to stop tripping on people dicks. Dicks don't mean nothing. Everybody be focusing on dick. Dick don't mean nothing. Dick means something, nigga. No. Dick means something. Dick means I ain't fucking with you. Oh, dick means something. If I'm with a woman and she pulls a dick out on me, that means something. The world has gone goddamn crazy if we let that type of nonsense go down. That's rape. They're trying to tell black folks that we don't let ourselves get raped by somebody, then we're violating the civil rights codes. No. We got every right to push back against that. That's the same shit they pulled on us on the plantations. If we didn't let Massa rape us, then they'll whip us and string us up and punish us. We ain't playing that game no more. Family, you don't deserve, as black folks, don't let nobody tell you you're homophobic because you don't want to be exploited sexually. You don't want your children exploited sexually. You don't want to be buck broken. Family, I put up a video on my Instagram of a police stop down in Baton Rouge where the white cop handcuffed these 16-year-old. It was a 16-year-old black boy and his brother. I don't know how old the other brother was, but they were pulling these black boys' pants down, fondling their genitals as if they were looking for something. I mean, they had these brothers' pants down all up in their damn balls. It is not our lot in life to be continuously buck broken. It is up to us to produce justice. It is up to us to make shit right. Ain't nobody else gonna do it but us. And we gotta get that fear out of our system. We have to get that fear out of our system, and we have to stop playing games with these white supremacists. Understand. The price of freedom and the price of liberty is death sometimes. We have to have that mentality. But family, again, it is imperative that you watch Buck Breaking with your family. Go to buckbreakingmovie.com. Remember, Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, there is a screening of Buck Breaking this Sunday. Get your tickets at buckbreakingmovie.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to holla at you this Sunday. Y'all be good.